Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting our regular chat sessions with Kelly Gottlieb, Professor Emeritus at the University of Toronto. Kelly is one of the most significant contributors to computing education, the profession, and industry worldwide. Kelly, thank you for coming in today to share your insights with the audience.
Glad to be here, Stephen. Thank you.
You know, Kelly, you've done a lot of sort of thinking and writing and sharing your ideas in terms of what's happening in the online world and networks and that whole sort of space. What are your views on network neutrality?
Well, first of all, perhaps we better say something about what it is. Network neutrality is a term that people use to insist that information providers not be allowed to give extra service for people, extra fast service for people who pay more. The idea being that people who don't buy as much either content or or speed as big customers should have an equal access to the internet, and it had been a big issue in the United States. In fact, I'm pretty sure the Americans have actually passed a law in which allowing information providers to charge more for improve what are called quality of service. I'll get to that in a minute. But there's been a lot of objections to it, and it's even possible that law will be revised by the Democratic Congress. The argument that was put forward for it was that it was necessary to have this, this tier of charges, different charges, to maintain quality of service. And that's another term that needs a bit of explanation. But for material going over the internet, certain material like voice over voice or video clearly need faster transmission than, let's say, email. Because, of course, you have to put the, if the voice is delayed too much, if the voice packets are delayed too much, then they'll become unintelligible. So the information providers say that in order to assure that we can maintain the best internet and provide the quality of service, good quality of service, we have to have a tiered system of charges. As I say, that is permitted in the United States, but some very well-known people have objected to it, people like Vint Cerf and Tim Berners-Lee, very famous people on the internet. So there's quite a lot of objection to not having network neutrality. Now, that debate hadn't been so large in Canada, but there is a site, actually, quite an interesting site, www.neutrality.ca, which maintains quite an argument in favor of network neutrality, and it'll probably be discussed in Canada before long as to whether internet providers will be allowed to have this tiered basis of charges. So the debate is really going on, although I'm not sure how widespread it is. I myself, I'm of two minds about it. I may even a contrarian, because I'm a little surprised at all the arguments that are made by the people in favor of net neutrality. For one thing, we already don't have it in part, because we have telephone access on the internet and high speed access, various levels. And you pay different rates. So, in fact, we don't have network neutrality now. And another thing is that almost everybody says keep regulations off the internet. The government as soon as the heavy hand of government gets in the internet, they're going to make it difficult. So, if you believe in the free market system, and if you see what's happening now, I'm not sure why all this fuss is about network neutrality. Yeah, I mean, if you believe in market forces as being, rather than government regulation, as being in the long term the best way for things to grow, then I don't see what the debate is. Now, this site, I advise your readers and listeners to go to that site, because, you know, it's a debate, it's a legitimate debate, and that site that I give on Canada, neutrality.ca, the trouble is it confuses a number of other things. It also talks about quite a lot about censorship on the internet, and of course it's against that. There's another long-standing argument in telecommunications, I think, has been settled, and that is content versus carriers. Just let me say a bit about that. For a long time, the telephone companies said that we can't be responsible for the content that we deliver over our lines. There's so much stuff in there that we don't even know what it is. We're just carriers, libelous or anything like that, unless we are told or definitely that the thing is racist or illegal. Don't expect us to monitor it. That separation of carriers and content in the end failed, because with convergence now, you know, companies, so many companies that are carriers also develop programs on TV. They actually finance and produce their own programs. There's no longer a clear separation between content providers and carriers. So that debate, which took place in communications over many years, I think has been settled, in that you can't really designate a difference between content and carrier companies. Now, that network neutrality gets back in, it talks about that, and therefore, incidentally, it means that the carriers can't be absolved of the need to see what's on their site. The usual solution is to say that, of course, we can't expect them, or don't even want them, to monitor all the content. But if they are told that something is illegal, they're required to take action and remove it and censor it. But they can't censor it themselves. They have to be informed that there's an illegal content, and then they're required to take action. So that net neutrality.ca mixes up the network neutrality, which is which I think the main argument is about quality of service, with censorship, which comes from the content carrier. All of this sounds a bit complicated, and it is, because of course there's a long history of telecommunications, and you know, one of the reasons is the difficulty of resolving private versus public ownership. Telecommunication companies essentially have rights to channels and to bandwidth. You can argue, I think justifiably, that bandwidth is a public property, and therefore if a company is given rights to specific wavelengths and channels, and then they also have responsibility for how they maintain it, namely fairness and no censorship and not excessive profits and so on. So all this means is that, of course, that the internet is now in the domain of telecommunications, of which there's a long, complicated legal history.
You also indicated that there's a discourse that sort of changes depending on whether it's North America or other regions of the world.
Yes, there is. I think right now the United States is the only country that has the laws permitting this tiered things, but other countries are considering it. I don't know what's happening in Europe. It's certainly being considered in Canada, and according to this website, Network in Canada, the sort of Canadian legislature are sort of going in the direction of the United States, trying to get readers interested in it. But as I say, there's questions of quality of service, there's questions of censorship, and there's one more thing into the already complicated mix. There's questions of whether there's enough competition. You know, for example, in television service and cable service, depending on where you live, you probably have only choice of one cable company, Shaw in some areas, Rogers in others, and so on. The site neutrality.ca says there's not enough cable competition in Canada, not enough competition in Canada for carriers, and I think they're right in that. Maybe not so much in actually internet service, because here in Toronto anyway, you can go to Bell or you can go to Rogers, at least those two main, and then you can go to quite a few others. But at least for cable companies, if you want cable, there probably isn't enough competition. So this is a very complicated mix of problems. And I think readers and people who are interested in the internet really now have an obligation to familiarize themselves with the history and debate of this and come to some opinion.
Well, again, Kelly, I want to thank you for sharing such a diverse insights and views, and quite eclectic, and it's always such a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, I hope I haven't confused your listeners and readers by showing how complicated life is.
No, not at all, because, there's richness and diversity, right?
So. Yeah, my motto is keep vertical, keep moving, and keep cheerful.
Well, that's a happy note. So, it's always a pleasure talking to Kelly.
Okay, see you.
And you take care.
Right.
Okay, thank you again.